The second Testament reading is found in the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. If you wish to follow along, it's on page 107 in the second part of the Pew Bibles. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
In what might very well be my last sermon, because the end is near, maybe. How many of you read this article this week? If Harold Camping is right, life as we know it will cease on May 21st. So if you need some pastoral care this week, we are here for you. First Baptist Church staff will be here for you to talk about your final days. So in what might be my last sermon, I'm going to try and create some honest space about listening to the voice of God. And we've heard our shepherding text of today, Psalm 23. We've heard John 10. And hopefully these are helping us, even as we worship together, create space to hear from God. If you've been here at First Baptist over the past several Sundays, you may have heard in the sacred space during the sacred time ways that we might be listeners. And so I thought, here we are halfway through the season of Easter, 49 days of Easter. We're in day 22. So I thought, I was a former teacher. We'll do a little midterm review of what's been going on over the past few weeks here at First Baptist. If you were here on Easter Sunday, we were running with Mary Magdalene. And we were accompanying her as she saw the empty tomb. And we tried to wrestle with these themes of seeing, of encountering this stranger, and then also hearing our name, and then recognizing that this wasn't the gardener, but this is the living Christ in our midst. On Easter Sunday, too, Jeremy preached and encouraged us to enter the Easter story through Thomas and the disciples. In the midst of fear and confusion, he tried to encourage us to hear Jesus saying, "Do not be afraid." And then at the same time, to invite the Holy Spirit to breathe on us anew, just as Jesus breathed on those disciples in those fearful days. And Jeremy said, the Holy Spirit is the shy member of the Trinity. And so he used a simple prayer for us to utter, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit." And then last week, we walked with Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus. Jesus was made known to these disciples in the opening of scriptures and the breaking of bread. And I encourage us to reflect on moments when our hearts had been warmed, when our hearts had been burning within us, where we recognized the living Christ. And so we pull these themes together of hearing, of inviting, of recognizing. We pull these themes together today on Good Shepherd Sunday and posture ourselves to listen to the voice of the shepherd. Because we believe God speaks. And his voice comes to life through the scriptures. His voice comes to life in miraculous and mundane moments in our everyday lives. And his voice, I can assure you, is never with a tone of shame or guilt. I was reflecting this past week on this booklet called, this was a mid-90s booklet called My Heart, Christ's Home. It became pretty popular in the 90s. And for some reason, I'd never had a great feeling about this booklet. And so I thought, well, I'm going to reread what that booklet actually says. And so as I reread it, I was rediscovering parts that maybe left me a bit, ugh. The book is about this Christian who's described with facing this dilemma because he's invited God into his life and he starts to show God around the rooms of his life. And things, as the rooms get opened and opened and opened, things not only get dicey, but then they start getting stinky. The story goes like this. One day I found him, Jesus, waiting for me at the door. An arresting look was in his eye. As I entered, he said to me, "There is a peculiar odor in the house. Something must be dead around here. It's upstairs. I think it is in the hall closet." Da-na-na, the suspense builds. So Jesus goes upstairs, and this Christian reluctantly follows, and Jesus points to the door, and this Christian kind of reaches his ending point. He writes, "I was angry. I'd given Jesus access to the library, the dining room, the living room, the workroom, the rec room, and now he is asking me about a little 2x4 closet." "Well," Jesus said, "oh," the Christian says to himself, "this is too much. I'm not going to give him the key." "Well," Jesus said, reading my thoughts, "if you think I'm going to stay up here on the second floor with this smell, you are mistaken. I will go out on the porch." Then I saw him start down the stairs. When one comes to know and love Christ, the worst thing that can happen is to sense him withdrawing his fellowship. I had to give in. Is this an insecure parent? A manipulative spouse or friend? Or is this Jesus Christ, the risen Lord? And so I want to assure you today that if you're listening for the voice of the shepherd, it must be a voice of love. And I can't prescribe for you how you might be hearing him today or how we might hear him in this season of Easter, but I do want to say that it has to be a voice of love. So as we walk through John 10 today, as we link these verses together with Acts chapter 2, let's listen for the voice of love as we listen to the voice of the shepherd. If you've got John 10 still open, we see this way that Jesus invites us into, a way where we are named. Verse 3, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice." It's a way where we are led out. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then in verse 9, it's a way in which we are saved. Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved." And it's an interesting mixture of metaphors for Jesus here. Is he saying that he's the gate, or is he saying that he's the shepherd? I would propose that in a mystical way, Jesus is saying both. That he is a gate, he is a way into this pasture of abundance and healing and hope. And at the same time, he's this shepherd who goes ahead of us, like a shepherd who leads a flock. He walks with us. He walks behind us. He walks in front of us. He's the one who calls us from darkness to light. He's the one who walks with us from death to life. And so when we walk through and with the presence of God, as we read on in today's text, we find pasture. Whoever enters by me, Jesus says, will come in and go out and find pasture. And we find life. This might be a favorite verse for many of you, John 10, verse 10. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And this isn't a health and wealth gospel. It's a way of being nurtured. It's a way of being protected. It's a way of being comforted. And it is the way of spiritual formation. It's a journey inward with Christ. But then there's also a journey outward. And here's where I want to connect John 10 to Acts chapter 2. Jesus doesn't leave us in the pasture to eat, drink, and be hemmed in. The Acts of the Apostles remind us that as a community, as a flock, we are destined to have this reputation that is in here, but is also out there. It's a journey inward, it's a journey outward, it's a being and doing of the journey of faith. We've heard the Acts 2 text read for us by the children, and I want us to use these verses to reflect on with some questions as we're closing in a few minutes. What does it look like for us, and Gordon pointed it out too, what does it look like for the Bolivians or the Canadians to live into the themes and the message of Acts chapter 2? I had a pretty interesting visit, actually a really interesting visit with a 2.5-year-old home church this week that called itself Punk Monk Christian Fellowship. Punk Monk Christian Fellowship. So if you want more information about that, talk to me later. But I got to hear this firsthand story of this small group of people, about 20, that are trying to live into the ethos of this Acts 2 church. And it seems to be working. There's this smaller group of 6 to 10 of them who actually live in this house, and they share their resources, they share meals, they share living space, and every Sunday morning, they host the other 15-ish members of this church, and they make brunch together, and then they read the scriptures together, they have church, they sing, and then they pray, and they have communion together every Sunday. And they even have a guest room, because they're also trying to minister to homeless people who stay for a day or weeks at a time. And at the same time, though it sounds intimate and fabulous as the Acts 2 church, I talked to the co-pastors, and they said, believe me, this is not easy. This is messy, messy, messy. And we've had to work out lots of things in the past year and a half to make it sane. But as I was reflecting on this experience, I wondered, well, what does it mean for us as a 118-year-old, I don't know, Jeremy called us Frankenstein sometime. You know, we're just this big, lumbering church. Oh, wow, how are we going to bring these themes to life? But I believe God's on the move, and he wants to use even a church like us to seek the peace and well-being here in 2011. And we don't need to be shamed or coerced into trying to fit into models that don't fit us. We don't need to deconstruct so much that we forget who we are, forget our identity, forget our tradition, forget who we are as Baptists. But God, in this season of blessing, is calling us to be a blessing. In this season where we find ourselves in a place of well-being, a place of security, a place of health, God is calling us to be this kind of community. And I don't want to ask us to necessarily do more, but what might God ask us to do naturally as we proclaim Christ? I thought of a verse that one of my favorite mentoring pastors in Lethbridge used to use from the J.B. Phillips translation in Colossians 1. The interpretation is, we proclaim Christ naturally. So what does it look like for us to naturally proclaim Christ? where we are now, where we are this week, where you're called to in terms of your work, your schooling, your life, your hanging out. What does it look like for us to live into these four themes naturally in Acts chapter 2? And so we're going to share bread again. And I think Tana has maybe given some of the staff and council a heads up. We're going to share bread again. And so if those bread sharers will come forward, and we will simply start serving bread amongst you again to remind you that as we break bread together, as we share of what God has given to us, as we use this tangible symbol and share with one another, that we might continue to get some revelation on what it means to be this kind of people. So please, servers, will you start sharing the bread of Christ with us? And as you're passing that bread from one another, you might say, blessings to you. You might say, Christ is risen. You might say, the bread of Christ. You might say, Christ is among us. Or you might just smile and say, enjoy. So as we share this bread again, I'm going to jump off those four themes that Karen prayed for us this morning. How do we naturally gather as the people of God? How do we naturally share as the people of God? How do we naturally worship together as the people of God? And how do we naturally eat together as the people of God? How do we gather? How do we share? How do we worship? How do we eat? And as God continues to reveal to us, start talking about this. What does it mean for us as we keep on working through these weeks of Easter, being these resurrection people, talking about resurrection wonder, talking about resurrection meals, talking about being resurrection spiritual friends together? So as you're mulching and eating, think on these themes. What does it mean for us to naturally gather, to naturally share, to naturally worship, to naturally eat together? I'm going to close with a reading from Barbara Brown Taylor that reminds us, as we're ruminating and reflecting on what God might be continuing to call us to, let's remember this is a vocation for ordinary people. Barbara Brown Taylor writes in her book, Gospel Medicine, Jesus seems to prefer working with broken people, with broken dreams in a broken world. If someone hands him a whole loaf, he will take it, bless it, break it, and give it. And he will do the same thing with his own flesh and blood, because that is the way of life God has shown him to show the rest of us. To take what we have been given, whether we like it or not, and to bless it, to say thank you for it, whether it is the sweet, satisfying bread of success or the tear-soaked bread of sorrow. To say thank you and to break it, because that is the only way it can be shared. And to hand it around, not to eat it all by ourselves, but to find someone to eat it with, so that the broken loaf may bring all of us broken ones together into one body, where we may recognize the risen Lord in our midst. As you close your eyes in a time of silent prayer, will you continue to mulch and pray and ask God to reveal to us how we might naturally gather, naturally share, naturally eat, and naturally worship together? loving God and nurturing shepherd. Inspire us to naturally proclaim Christ this week. The psalmist says, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Help us, Lord, to live in your light, to act in your might, to think in your wisdom, to walk in your kingdom, to abide in your love, your presence to prove. Amen.